Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Sports Talk here on the Sports Talk Media Network on a Wednesday night. Great to have you with us. Appreciate the phone calls. We'll have more phone calls tomorrow night. We'll pick back up on the topics. We'll dive even more deeply into the recruiting world tomorrow night. But after everything we've done tonight, it is time to step outside the great outdoors of South Carolina. As a matter of fact, I saw a story today in the New York Post. And they never exaggerate anything, but I don't think this was an exaggerated story. They were citing the scientists and the agencies who said yesterday, July 4th, was the hottest day ever on Earth. And it felt like it. Hottest day, according to whoever they were citing, the scientists and the climatologists, yesterday was the hottest recorded day ever on the planet. And with that note, we welcome in Major Billy Downer from DNR, another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk. Major Downer, welcome. How are you, sir? How was your fourth?
It was hot. I can agree with that. I'm not sure that I would argue that Saturday was the hottest day on Earth. But anyway, it just felt Saturday was still no wind on inland lakes. It was just hot as blue blazes. You know, I don't even know where that comes. I don't even know where that phrase comes from, but it was hot.
Yeah.
It was hot on Saturday for sure. No wind, very hot. It was one of those days you stop the boat for a minute, you just start sweating. And even running the boat, you really don't get that cool. But busy fourth weekend. I just got confirmation the man was correct. But good news, we had zero fatalities this weekend, all the way through the fourth. Zero
fatalities. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, that's a really, you know, Memorial Day, zero. We had zero on the fourth. That's a good thing. Hope that is a sign that this is going to be a safer year. But certainly a big boating weekend. Lots of people out in the water. I was out in the water with my folks on Saturday and saw the boating traffic on Lake Marion. Just very busy day. One of those days that it just feels like you're in a washing machine. There's so many boats on the water. It is just very rough, to say the least. Anyway, good weekend. Enjoyed it. I want to talk about some things that I saw this weekend that we want to reflect on just as we go into the rest of the summer to keep ourselves safe on the water. Things that just came up a lot on Saturday. And then yesterday on the 4th, I saw some things that just reminded me, you know, it'd be good to talk about this with Phil. So, Phil, talking about boating for a minute, one of the things we ran into a lot, just people with registration issues, and we talked about that a lot with the new system. And, you know, we talked about how boating, the purchase of new boats was backed up over after COVID, and things seem to be opening up now. You can buy boats and motors, but we had such a rush of people buying boats last year that our boat tiling section was overwhelmed. And then we went to a new system and it just seemed like everything was backing up and we were 3 and 4 months behind. So people had their boats and didn't have their numbers displayed on them, but they had done everything they were supposed to do. And I still see that continuing to a degree. And a lot of that is due to the counties and taxes. With the new system where counties now, you pay your taxes in your county, and the county automatically sends that to us, and you pay your registration fee to the county, just like you do for your car. And it's supposed to work where they send us that you paid your taxes, and we send you your new sticker for your boat. And that's every year now, remember. It's not every 3 years, but every year now. And continue to see issues with that. With people who say, look, I paid my taxes, here's my receipt, but I don't have any stickers for my boat yet. And our officers are using good discretion on that and not writing tickets on that because you typically that's a failure display registration or you don't have your registration up to date. But when our officers run the registration number, for example, South Carolina 1234, Bravo Delta, BD, that's a registration number. It comes up, good and valid through next year, 2024, even though the sticker may say it was out, 6 of 23. And what we see a lot of July 4th is a lot of people's boats, expire in June, it seems like, right before July 4th. Weekend. But in many cases, they were actually good. The numbers were good. So we're kind of just something I wanted to mention to folks. Remember, you pay your taxes to the county, and then the county sends the information into us, and you get your sticker sent to you in the mail, and that's how it's supposed to work. But sometimes the counties are behind on that. Things haven't always caught up. But as long as you pay your taxes and keep a copy that you've paid your taxes, that receipt in your boat, you're going to be in good shape and you won't see problems from that. And it just keeps everything good. So people are doing pretty good with that, with keeping the receipt for the taxes in the boat. The other way you can register your boat is you can do that by actually on your phone. And folks still, it seems like, haven't caught up with that. It's you go to your phone, to your app store, and you'll find Go Outdoors SC. Go Outdoors SC, and you'll find it. And you can load that app, load your profile on there. It's going to ask you your last name, your birth date. It's going to have you verify either your last four, your social, or either another identifying number for yourself. And once you load yourself on your phone, you can actually go and you can renew boats that are registered to your name. And the only problem with that is that people have multiple customer numbers from having different boats in the past. We've talked about that on several shows in the past. But if everything's right, you can actually renew your boat right there on your phone as well, which makes it really easy. And I'll have all your licenses displayed on your phone. And we were showing folks that this weekend as well. So that's just one of the big things I saw this weekend. It's just registration still seems to be falling behind a little bit, but people are doing a good job of keeping the records and keeping the phone, keeping those receipts from the county taxes being paid so they can show they should be up to date. So that's good news.
Very
people
good news.
Understand the process. Yeah. As far as safety this weekend, the typical things you see on a busy boating weekend, a lot of boats on the water, a lot of activities, rough. We said that, you have that kind of that washing machine effect where it's just waves everywhere from just boat action on the lake, not from the wind, because there certainly was no wind on Saturday. But if people are going too fast for conditions, we talk about all the time, just slowing down with that much traffic and taking your time, maintaining that proper lookout is what we look at a lot. I was on the water yesterday on the 4th down in the Charleston area, and something I saw again that just comes up is people, no wake zones, particularly in tidal areas where you have a tide pulling. Wapu Cut comes to mind. If you're familiar with the Charleston area, folks, when they hear Wapu Cut, they know that's a tremendous tide pull, a lot of current there, and there's a lot of no wake zone, a very lengthy no wake zone, and people get frustrated. They don't want to stay at no wake, that whole zone, but there's a reason for that, because it's a tight area, a lot of boat traffic, and people need to be in no wake so that your wake doesn't cause damage to boats and docks on that thoroughfare. And saw people doing what they've always done, is they drag that wake into the no wake zone. They stay at full speed until they hit that line of buoys. Then they let down, and they drag this huge 3 and 4 foot wake wave into the wake zone, and that's just not what you're supposed to do, and people should know better, but they don't. You're supposed to be at no wake when you hit that imaginary line between the no wake buoys. The no wake buoys are there to show you where you're to be at no wake. You don't let the boat down once you pass the line. You're actually supposed to be at no wake, just like a speed limit zone. When you get to the 35 zone, you're supposed to be at 35. You're not supposed to be dragging into that 35 going 45-55, which is what a lot of people do. But I guess I just don't understand the weight damage, the damage that weights cause. I saw that a lot. Just Wahpoo Cut's just one of those areas that just has such tremendous current. When I was a new officer, we had to go, one of the things we had to do, the drills we had to do, is we had to put out in and out of Wahpoo Cut Landing. And we had to take the boat out at a full tidal pull. And that boat, you got to go approach your trailer at, like, sideways in the last minute turn and push your boat up on that trailer. It's a very challenging environment for folks that don't know a lot about boats, and for new officers that haven't handled boats a lot, it's pretty tough. And even tough for a seasoned boater. But that's just something I was reminded of yesterday. But a busy week for sure this past weekend.
No question. I'm glad that the news is good as far as safety on the water. I did read a story in the state where there was an incident on Lake Murray. Fortunately, everything turned out okay, but it was a family on a boat, a family of four, and according to somebody on the boat, the boat became swamped. A big wave hit them, and then a second wave hit them, and the boat took on too much water, and it quickly sank, but there were people nearby who were there to pull them out of the water. I can't imagine, I guess, can you talk about what it was like from a wave standpoint and having a kind of a wave engulf your boat like that that would cause it, or a couple of waves to engulf your boat like that that would cause it to sink?
Sure. On in the water, it's a very common, unfortunately, a common scenario that plays out is boats capsizing. That's when the boat takes on water and then flips over because the way the boat flips, the bottom's lighter and flips up. Typically what happens in a situation like that, a boat loses power. And when your boat loses power, a lot of people go to the back to work on the motor. They put their weight down the back of the motor. And then with a busy weekend, like we talked about, that washing machine effect, you've got all this water moving around. So sort of like waves and people with wakes pulling behind a boat or whatever. And if you stop your boat at just the right moment and go to the back and the bottom of the boat, or even let off the motor and the bottom of the boat just goes down, or even the moment you're trying to take off, if a boat takes on water, there's a lot of scenarios that can play out for that. But typically, it's when a boat is low in the back of the rear end, and that's when the weight may be at the back of the boat, may have everybody at the back of the boat, a John boat, for instance, with two or three people sitting in the back seat, or even a big center console. At the wrong moment, if you're all in the back of the boat and the boat tips over, or, you know, you lean to one side checking a compartment, and just that moment, a wave comes through and swallows the back of that boat. And that causes the boat to go down a little bit further. Maybe not enough to make the boat flip, but then, you know, then another wave comes. Or another wave comes and hits the boat. And a lot of times people don't react fast enough, and that boat just takes on water quickly and just boom. And then people are flipped into the water, and you're in a situation where, as we've talked about many times, Phil and stuff, talked about this, it's when you need your life jacket. If your life jackets are up in the boat in a console, locked or just closed, you're sitting there flipped into the water, and now you're in a situation where you're swimming. You know, in a busy lake like this weekend, or waterways yesterday, or, you know, anytime during the July 4th time, you've got all these wakes coming, and you're in the water. Those wakes can fall, you know, you're coming up for air at the wrong moment, water hits you, and that's how drownings occur. Because someone comes up for air and a wave hits them right when they open their mouth. And those are all unfortunate circumstances that come up. Another way that capsizing happens, people get in a rush at a landing, they put the boat in and forget to put the plug in. And the plug is something at the bottom of the boat that you're allowed. So when a boat takes on water, it goes into the bilge to the bottom of the boat. And that plug's there. When you pull out, you can pull the plug out and empty the water. A lot of boats have bilge pumps. One of those things we haven't talked about a lot is, you know, when we talk about maintaining your boat, make sure you have your numbers up to date, you have life jackets on board, fire extinguisher, you need them, all those things. But there's electrical equipment on board that you need to make sure is working sometimes too. And we've never talked about that, but the bilge pump. A lot of boats are equipped with a bilge pump, and that is to pump out water when a boat takes on water. And if that bilge pump's not working, that boat takes on water and it just gets heavier and gets lower in the back, like we talked about.
But can that pump can that pump, is it strong enough to remove the water that comes in off of a couple of big waves? Can it do the job?
No, it's not in an instant like that, no.
Yeah.
But over time, yes, it is. And it can get water out of a boat and keep you from sinking and make the back of the boat a lot lighter and come up. If your bilge is not working properly and your boat takes on water, as soon as you try to take off, the bottom of the boat goes down, all the water rushes to the back of the boat, and then the boat gets heavier. Another situation. There's so many scenarios that can play out here. And then a wave hits, and another wave hits,
mm-hmm.
and then that boat just takes on water and goes down quickly.
Yeah.
There's so many scenarios. I've been in boats where people forget to put that plug in the bottom to get in the lake, and they don't see it for a while. They're riding around, and when you're riding, actually, the boat will self-drain. But when you stop, the boat begins to take on water.
Hmm.
And it can take on water so fast that you can't get it started and get going again without the boat sinking. And so, again, so many scenarios can play out. And I'm not sure what happened in the scenario we're talking about. I have a feeling that they were stopped at the wrong time. And the business of that lake, the waves got overtook the boat.
Let me ask you this, following up on that story. And fortunately for that family, they were around other people and they were able to help them. What is your advice, for lack of a better term? I'm going to call it the hero moment, where you're in the water, you're in the ocean, you're in a boat, you're on a lake. You see somebody in danger. You see somebody having a problem, but you don't want to exasperate the situation by putting yourself in danger while you're trying to help somebody else. What advice do you give people when they find themselves in the moment to be a hero?
Well, first of all, there's a law that says you have a duty to respond to a boating accident, as long as it doesn't cause risk or harm to yourself or anybody on your boat.
Hmm.
In other words, if a boat's on fire, you're not required to go to that boat, jump on it, and burn up. But a boat like this, perfect example, boat capsizes, flips, people in the water, you have a duty to go to that boat and help them out. So what do you have to do? Or duty to at least call 911 and say, hey, there's a problem. Most boaters always respond. They've always been good about that. Our boating public's pretty good about responding to other boaters in need and getting over to them. The biggest thing is to make sure when you have people in the water that when you get close to the boat, you cut your engines so you don't end up causing more damage with your prop. That's the biggest thing is prop injuries happen when people get around motors. So when you approach somebody in the water, and we say that this applies to even when you're picking someone up from skiing. So many boats, and it's a good point, Phil, I'm glad you said this, because it's a great reminder, because modern boats today have what they call fly-by-wire system. They're not cables anymore. They're connected to your throttle, where your throttle, you had to press a lever to push that throttle and engage it. And that cable goes back to your motor and engages it in forward or reverse or what have you. But fly-by-wire, now everything's electronic, so the motor responds quickly. And if you leave that motor on and put it in neutral, someone can be loading the back of your boat, or you can be picking somebody up and have your boat in neutral, think everything's good, and somebody bump that throttle, and it will engage quickly. And it can cause damage. You can put it in reverse or forward and run over somebody before you could even stop it. And that goes beyond what we're talking about, but I just thought I'd mention that. The modern throttles now, that fly-by-wire system, you have to be so careful with that. And I was with somebody yesterday that reminded me of that. I did not realize how quickly those fly-by-wire throttles engage, because there's no lever you depress. You just bump it forward, it's going to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you had to depress something. You had to depress, you had to actually squeeze the throttle before you engage it either way. Now you don't have to. So it makes it kind of doubly dangerous to be careful, be very careful around the folks, because prop strikes can kill, they can hurt somebody seriously. So that is a good point to make. And if you're ever approaching anybody in the water, always put the boat in neutral, turn it off if you can, so you can make sure that someone doesn't get hit by a prop. And that can be tough in current and things like that. I understand that. And as you get more experience in boating, you can make good decisions. You can always approach people from the front. But most boats, the ladder is in the back, and it's right by the motor.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's going to be climbing in the boat from skiing or wherever else. They're climbing right by that motor. And if that motor's on, you better make sure that it's not in gear. Because even a motor that's barely in gear, that motor just barely turning, the prop turning, can cut through flesh and bone in an instant. And it can be disastrous.
Okay, last 2 minutes, and got to touch on the tragedy at Hilton Head where we had another alligator attack on a woman, a 68, 69-year-old woman walking her dog, and it was fatal. And I don't know how much you've read about it, but what do you know, and what words of caution do you have for us once again in this kind of scenario?
Don't know on this one. I will look that up next time we talk. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure to have more information. But I can tell you this. You told me one huge factor in that is walking the dog. And we've talked about this so many times. You know, people who live in areas on our coast, particularly where there are so many gators, alligators are just a normal thing you see. But people get used to them. They don't, you know, pay attention. And remember what I've always said. An alligator looks at a dog very differently than a human being. They look at a dog, they're thinking tastes like chicken. They're not worried about a human. They're going to come after that dog every time. Because remember, they got a brain, as I've said hundreds of times on this show, the size of a walnut. And it's not that big. And it can't think through a lot of situations. So you got to be careful, very careful. If you're walking a dog, don't take the dog down near water where the alligators are present, because you're asking for you're asking too much of that gator to think through that. He's not going to. He's going to, if that gator's big enough and he wants to go after that dog, he is. That's just what a gator's going to do. You got to be wary and just keep dogs away from the water's edge when alligators are present. That's just one of the rules you got to follow. And unfortunately, in this case, it seems like someone lost their life. And again, I don't know all the factors on this, but as you and I have talked about over the last 2 years, you know, 5 years ago, I could say we didn't have alligator fatalities, but now we do. And we just got to think and encourage the public to be wary. Don't feed alligators. Please don't feed an alligator. Don't, you know, throw scraps of fish off your dock. Don't clean fish at your dock and throw them in there where the alligators can get to them. Pickle on public lakes, because that's where the problems start. Alligator begins to associate that food dropping in the water with you. And so every time they see a human on the dock, they're coming up thinking there's going to be something dropping in the water magically for them to eat. Just a lot of things we got to be thinking about, but try to be smart. Again, anytime there's a loss of human life from an alligator, it is a tragedy. We don't want to see that. But be alligator aware.
Major Downer, some great stuff from you tonight, my friend. I'm glad you had a great holiday weekend. I don't know for sure. It sounds to me like you're on a boat. I'm not saying for certain, but it sounds to me like you're on a boat.
Not on a boat, just in the rain today.
Okay.
A lot of rain around the state. More rain.
I thought I heard some splishing and splashing going on there, so you be safe.
That's the splishing and splashing of raindrops.
You be safe, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Look forward to it, sir.